The recipes went out, and within a couple of days, we started getting phone calls from people. You know, what is this, chili soup? There was no beans in it. So while she proofread it, she just forgot to include one line. And I think that was about the only time she made a mistake on her recipes. I want to talk a little bit about the commercials. Joyce wrote many of the commercials you heard on WCCO. She wrote them for the other announcers. That's what her job was when she first started. She continued to write those through the years as she worked as an on-air personality. She wrote commercials here at KLBB. If I'd have a commercial that was, you know, I was kind of stumped on, I'd say to Joyce, you know, can you, you know, write something? I'd hand her a brochure or a clipping, and she'd say, sure. She'd grab it, go into her office, come back 30 minutes later. Here, how's this? And she'd have a commercial written. And then, you know, you just kind of rewrite it for your own style. Joyce talked about writing copy, taking it very seriously. She insisted on writing her own copy. She would never let a sponsor write her copy for her. And I'm going to have her explain that in a little bit. We're going to hear shortly one of the commercials she wrote. But she told me, she said, you know, advertisers are great people, but they can't write commercials. They think by including the phone number 10 times, it's going to make it a great commercial. Who remembers phone numbers? I said, nobody. No, nobody does remember the phone numbers unless they're catchy, or you can sing them in a jingle, or if the last four digits spells something. So she would quite often get a commercial copy from an advertiser. She'd rewrite it. They say, that's not what I wrote. And she'd say, well, no, but this makes it sound better. And then she'd read it for them, and they'd agree with her that it was a good commercial. Now, we're going back to 1954. This is before she joined KLBB. And there was an announcer on CCO by the name of Clellan Card. Now, the baby boomers are going to know him as Axel on television. He was Axel in the Treehouse on the Kitty Show, but he was a serious radio announcer on WCCO for many, many years. In this instance, Joyce and Clellan both do a commercial that she wrote, and I should point out that even if you're a baby boomer, you may not know what they're talking about. This was a 1954 GE dryer with a very special feature. And I know if kids listen to this commercial today, they're going to go, what on earth are they talking about? See if you know what they're talking about.
Well, last year I heard a woman make this remark about her new clothes dryer. It does everything but sprinkle the clothes.
That statement is no longer valid. Now Dayton's 1954 GE dryer actually sprinkles your clothes automatically.
Yes, you almost have to pinch yourself to believe it. With the new GE dryer, you'll have no more heavy loads of clothes to carry up and down stairs, to hang in the basement, or to worry over if the weather takes a turn for the worse. Then, in addition, you can forget that tedious job of sprinkling the clothes.
All you need do is put the wash load in the dryer, set the heat dial for the fabric, set the time dial, and walk away and do as you please. Of course, for clothes that do not require sprinkling, you can easily remove the sprinkler tube. It's a simple matter to insert or to remove it.
Yet, for all the heavy work it relieves you of, this 1954 GE dryer is very sensibly priced at $249.95. And Dayton's Appliance Department makes it easy for you to own by requiring no down payment and monthly payments as low as $11.66. Dayton's Appliance Department is located on the fifth floor.
There you have it. 1954, Joyce Lamont with Clellan Card talking about the new GE dryer with that special feature where it sprinkles your clothes. Now, if you're a young person, kid listening, why would it sprinkle my clothes in the dryer? Well, when you, back in days of ago, you'd get your clothes out of the dryer, then you put them on the ironing board, then you had a bottle of water or a pop bottle with a little sprinkler attachment, and you'd sprinkle the clothes to get them moist so you could iron them. We don't do that, but most people don't do that anymore because you have steam irons now that put a little steam, a little moisture in your clothes. But this was a new feature where it would dry your clothes, and then right before they popped out of the dryer, it would sprinkle them so you could dry them easily. So that's that's that one. A great example of here's another good example of a commercial. And again, this is with Joyce, along with Cleland Card, that same year, I believe, 1954.
Well, I'd like to take a minute to talk to mothers of boys about Stride Right shoes.
I hope those shoes are rugged, Joyce. The months ahead are going to be a busy one for the young boys, and they need shoes that can slide to third base and pedal a bike and kick a football or tin can as the mood strikes them, and still turn up pretty reasonably presentable in the schoolroom.
All good reasons, Clon, for outfitting a boy in Stride Right shoes from Dayton's. For everyday wear, I'd suggest a brown Oxford with a scuff-resistant cap toe. That scuff toe is the only thing I know of to keep a boy's shoe toes presentable looking during the entire life of the shoes. The scuff toe Oxford by Stride Right sells for $7.95 in sizes 12.5 to 3, for $8.95 in sizes 3.5 to 5.
Now, for the dressier moments, and because most young boys can't possibly look dressed up in their everyday shoes, there's a Stride Right monk strap Oxford. Now, this style looks so much like Dad's, your boys will take great pride in wearing it. It's the same one-strap military style, you know. The one buckle is easy to pull since it has a roller on it. And this shoe also comes in brown, is made by Stride Right, and is available in sizes 8.5 to 12 at $6.95, and in sizes 12.5 to 3 at $7.95.
You'll find Stride Right shoes in the children's shoe department on Dayton's main floor.
Joyce Lamont and Cleland Card, 1954, with a commercial for Stride Right shoes. My mom listened to Joyce, and I can't tell you how many times as a youngster I was hauled to Dayton's, was it fifth floor, she said, and got Stride Right shoes, got them fitted, didn't go in and get them off a rack like you do today. You sat down in the children's shoe department, and the clerk came out, and he measured your foot, and they put those shoes on, and that's what I wore when I was a little kid, Stride Right shoes. I'm Reed Hagen. We're paying a tribute, remembering Joyce Lamont here on KLBB, and we have much more. So, as they used to say in the old days of radio, don't touch that dial. And we are back, Reed Hagen here at Club 1220 KLBB. Glad to be back. Remembering Joyce Lamont, who passed away last week at the age of 98, working for many, many years at WCCO, and just under 20 years at KLBB, a career that spanned over 50 years. We have much more to talk about. We played a song last hour. Joyce loved music. She did the Sunday Prelude was her music show, where she played hymns and carols, that type of thing. But she left the music playing to the folks that she worked with on the air, whether it be Chuck Lilligren here on KLBB, or Franklin Hobbs when he moved to middays, and occasionally Joyce would sit in with him, or with me in the morning, or with Pam Lundell. And she loved the tunes. She was always tapping her feet, always clicking those manicured nails on the counter. She just, with the music, and two things she loved, music and travel, and any song that had to do with travel. And one of the singers she always enjoyed, and she said to me one time, Joyce wasn't real big into like super jazzy songs. She was not a fan of scat. She loved Ella Fitzgerald, but didn't care for the scatting of the music. But she loved listening to Dean Martin because he had such an easy way. She said, you know, Dean sings the way every guy would like to sing. And she loved this song, and she knew every words except the Italian ones. Here's Dean Martin on KLBB.
Come belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette con butto belle faste già sotto il cielo di Roma. Down each avenue or via street or strada, you can see him disappearing two by two on an evening in Roma. Do they take them for espresso? Yeah, I guess so. On each lover's arm, a girl I wish I knew. On an evening in Roma, though there's grinning and mandolining in sunny Italy, the beginning has just begun when the sun goes down. So please meet me in the plaza near your casa. I am only one, and that is one too few. On an evening in Roma, don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you, on an evening in Roma?
Though there's grinning and mandolining in sunny Italy, the beginning has just begun when the sun goes down.
Come belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette con le butto belle fasteggia. Sotto il cielo di Roma, don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you, on an evening in Roma, sotto il cielo di Roma, on an evening in Roma.
And the Dean Martin on an evening in Roma here on Club 1220 KLBB. Joyce Lamont loved that song. Reed Hagen here. We're remembering Joyce Lamont on KLBB this morning. We've got about a half an hour to go. Much more coming your way. As I said, Joyce loved sitting in the studio and tapping her finger, tapping her toes, and singing along with just about every song, obviously, unless it was a recent selection, but the tunes were familiar with Joyce. She knew the lyrics. She knew them better than me, and I'd been playing the songs for years. For some reason, I could never remember the lyrics to a lot of songs, but Joyce would hum along or sing along all the time. That was Dean Martin. She loved his voice on an evening in Roma. Joyce loved to travel. In fact, she started doing travel notes on WCCO, and then continued on to KLBB. She went to Hawaii in 1960, because she talked about that. She did one of her tours of Hawaii, just fell in love with the island, and then fell in love with traveling. She traveled all over the world. You name it, she'd been in the city, she'd seen the great sights. She, as I mentioned, fell in love with Hawaii and went there as often as she could. Dee Larson, who ran DPL Cruises, whenever she had promoted one of her KLBB cruises to Hawaii, it was Joyce Lamont who did the copy, because Joyce was familiar, obviously, with cruising, but also with the islands and what to see, what to do. Joyce, I don't know if she was talked into it or she decided to do it on her own, but years ago, after she had visited Hawaii the first time, fell in love with the islands. She bought land in Hawaii and owned the land. And I said to her one day, she was talking about it, I said, have you been back to see, what did you do? She says, no. It's under magma. She apparently bought land that is now covered by tons of rock, molten rock. So it's pretty much where I said, do you still own it? She said, yeah, but there's nothing you can do with it. It's all under lava. So I don't know whatever happened to that. But traveling she loved. I remember one time she was talking about New York, and I told her, I said, you know, I've been to New York a couple of times, but really never been to New York, like spent a week and seen. She goes, oh, New York, is a great place. And so the next day she came in, and she brought me swizzle sticks from the Waldorf Astoria, the Stork Club, the Copacabana, all in New York City. She's like me. She collected and kept everything. But travel was nothing new with Joyce. Travel notes on Dee Larson, DPL Cruise's insistence. She resumed that when she joined us at KLBB. Here is a travel notes from a little bit earlier when she was still at WCCO.
This is Joyce Lamont for McCall's. There was a time, not so very long ago, when taking a vacation aboard a cruise ship was considered a way of life for the fortunate few, those with a lot of time and a lot of money. But today there are cruises to fit every vacation budget and a sailing date and itinerary to meet almost any vacation plan. We'll talk about taking a cruise ship through the Caribbean and the West Indies in just a moment. This is our final show for McCall's Magazine and the last day of McCall's bargain offer. 16 months for $2, just 12 and a half cents a month for some great reading. Novels, short stories, articles by and about people in the news. Columns on current events, medicine, childcare, and homemaking. Articles on beauty, fashions, foods, and home decorating. Now to subscribe to McCall's for 16 months for only $2, get your order in today. This is the final day. Send a card with your name and address to McCall's, WCCO Radio, Minneapolis, 55402. Or if you live in the Twin Cities area, you can phone your order. Call 222-0581. That's 222-0581. Send no money now unless you'd rather. McCall's will bill you later. If you have never made a Caribbean cruise, you might wonder, what kind of people go on them? Well, the answer is, there's no typical cruise passenger. They represent every type of community in the U.S. and Canada and other countries, and the majority have saved carefully to afford such a trip. And the majority, this time of year, have come from cold climates to enjoy a few weeks in the islands of the sun. Some take part in the social activities of the ship. Others prefer comparative solitude. Those who want to keep busy have ample opportunity to expend their energies on dances and entertainment, swimming, games and contests, dancing lessons, and shore excursions. Others who want a good rest can have exactly that, complete with breakfast in bed, sunnings, and sitting in a comfortable deck chair. Cruise ships can offer more personal service to their passengers and can be found almost anywhere ashore, and this is one of the great reasons for their popularity. In the mornings, if you want to take it easy, you can order breakfast in bed from an enormous menu. If you'd prefer to watch the sunrise or take an early dip in the pool, you'll find breakfast served buffet style on deck. And so it goes throughout the day. There's always someone nearby to provide services, a staff to arrange shore tours, to answer questions about shopping, to entertain you and wait on you. That's the accepted way of life when cruising. Usually, a liner with 400 passengers will also carry at least 400 ship personnel, officers, crew, and stewards and stewardesses. Now, once aboard, you'll start thinking about the islands that you're going to visit, and those of you interested in shopping bargains will probably look forward most to your visit to St. Thomas in the American Virgin Islands. Although you can enjoy duty-free shopping in all of the islands of the Caribbean and the West Indies, St. Thomas is the shopping capital, from which travelers may bring back $200 worth of duty-free goods, compared with $100 in most other parts of the world. Among the island specialties, many of which sell for less than the prices in their country of origin, are Danish silver, French perfumes, Swedish crystal and ceramics, Japanese and German cameras, English china, Scottish woolens and cashmeres, rugs from Spain, and watches from Switzerland. You can get a cashmere sweater, for example, for about $9. A watch selling in the States for $20 for under $7 in St. Thomas. And those not interested in bargains can find countless other things to do, from sightseeing to skin diving, golf to deep sea fishing. Or if you prefer, you can just stay aboard the ship and take it easy.
And there you have it. One of Joyce's earlier travel notes. You could tell it's earlier. I'm talking about a ship with passengers of 400. maybe on Lake Minnetonka, you'd be hard-pressed to find a ship. Well, there are a few ships that small, but most of them now are thousands and thousands. But Joyce loved to travel, loved talking about travel, and I was very fortunate to travel with Joyce quite a bit. I should mention, she loved to cruise. I was on several cruises with Joyce, and I'll tell you a fun little story. This is another, has nothing really to do with radio, but we were on, I believe it was, say, a Panama Canal cruise. We were going through the canal, and after dinner, Joyce had gone. She said, I'm going to go to the casino. Now, Joyce was not a big gambler. She never played, to my knowledge, never played the cards, you know, outside of our football pool, you know, in the office where she'd, you know, collect the dollar. She was not a blackjack or card dealer. She, you know, liked to play quarter slots, you know, and just put a few in. And so I said, well, I'll catch up with you a little bit later. And it was getting late, and I suppose it was around 11, 11:30 or so, and I go into the casino, and there's Joyce, and she's got two cups of quarters, and she's standing. We've got one tucked under her arm and holding the other one. And now this is when you still could put coins in the machines as opposed to now they're dollar bills or you put a card in. And her fingers, as you, if you played the slots, her fingers were just black from the coins. And she puts them in, and normally you'd put in three or five, whatever it was, you know, to get the max bet. And she put in one or two, and she was like playing two, three machines in a row. And they kept hitting. I mean, not big, but she put in two and pulled a thing and then go to another one, and then they had the clink, 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 clink. And so she, oh, gads, she'd say, gads. And she'd scoop up more coins. And I was standing there, and, you know, I had, like, dropped 20 bucks in, like, a minute and had nothing. And she goes, here, help me get rid of some of these. So she starts scooping coins out of her bucket and putting them in mine, and I start playing. And she kept winning and winning. And then she finally said, I got to get to bed. I have to get up early tomorrow. And she said she had two big cups of quarters, and she grabs one and says, here, you spend these. And she dumped all her other quarters into my. I mean, that's the kind of person she was. She was just a fun-loving, had-a-good-time type individual, just the same as anybody else, you know, you'd see outside of radio. She was just such a pleasure to be around, and a real sweetheart, a real gem. We're paying tribute to Joyce Lamont, remembering Joyce Lamont on KLBB. I'm Reed Hagen, and we'll have more right after this. Reed Hagen here on 1220 KLBB. We're remembering Joyce Lamont, who passed away last week. She was, as I've said many times on the show, just so much fun, a joy to work with. Here's a little bit of audio of Joyce and myself on the air. I'm guessing this was, well, you'll have a better idea. Just give a listen. Dean Martin before that, Everybody Loves Somebody. Reed Hagen along with Joyce Lamont. Joyce, I was telling you, I was going to tell you about this recipe I found on the Newswire.
Oh, yes, yes. I must hear about that. You think it's one that we can cook up for you?
Nope.
Nope.
What do you get when you mix some Old Bay seasoning, a pinch of salt, beer, potatoes, and 4 pounds of cicadas?
You're kidding.
It's Maryland Cicadas, one of the dishes offered in the University of Maryland's Cicada Maniacs Cicadalicious Cookbook.
Oh, how awful.
More recipes involving the flying insects include Shanghai cicadas, El Chirper tacos. For dessert, you can indulge in cicada rhubarb pie.
Oh, you gosh.
I don't even like rhubarb pie, let
I
alone.
I don't either. Oh, I wouldn't like it with cicadas in it.
Author Jenna Jaden says cicadas are like tofu. They absorb the flavor of the food they are cooked with. Although they do warn children and those with food allergies to check with a doctor before trying them out.
Oh, ye God.
Oh, no. I'm not eating.
Imagine having to collect them to begin with.
I hate those things.
I do, too.
They're just horrible bugs.
Oh, no.
But, no, that not going to be on my menu.
No.
Forever, put it that way.
You're right.
55 degrees, sunny in the Twin Cities, 8 minutes in front of 9. You buy your Powerball ticket for tonight, Joyce?
No, I think I should do that.
Oh, you're in the pool. You're in the office pool.
Oh,
that's
good.
Right.
Good. Oh, fine. Well, good luck to us.
$120 million. But if you take the cash option, that is $63.4 million.
Uh-huh.
So take probably about $30 million away for taxes. So everybody who's in the pool will split about $33 million.
I wouldn't object, would you?
No, I wouldn't mind a couple mil.
Not at all.
I wouldn't be here tomorrow.
I'm sure you wouldn't.
Yeah, I'd
do
be
this
here.
Show, for heaven's sake.
I'd be here. through Friday, probably.
Yes.
We have news coming up next here at your home for America's best music. Right here on Club 1220 KLBB. No news next. It's coming around the corner. That's a little audio clip. Don't pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The time and tempo, obviously we're wrong, but that's a clip of Joyce and me doing the morning show a few years back, talking about that horrible recipe that featured cicadas. I promised we'd have another Best Buy recipe. Let's do this one. I think this one you will find a little more appetizing.
A good cheese soup is our recipe today. It's called cheddar chowder. A good hearty dish for a cold day like this one. To make 6 servings, you combine in a large saucepan 1.5 cups of water, 1 cup of diced peeled potatoes, 1/3 cup of diced carrots, and 1/4 cup of chopped onions. You bring that mixture to a boil over medium heat, then lower the heat, cover the pan, let it cook about 15 minutes. In the meantime, blend 1/3 cup of flour into 2 cups of milk and stir this into the vegetable mixture. Cook and stir the soup over medium heat till it starts to thicken, and then stir in 1 cup of shredded cheddar cheese, 1/2 cup of shredded American cheese, and 1 cup of chopped ham. Heat the soup through and serve it with breadsticks. Again, for 6 servings of cheddar chowder, combine in a large saucepan 1.5 cups of water, 1 cup of diced peeled potatoes, 1/3 cup of diced carrots, 1/4 cup of chopped onions. You bring that mixture to a boil over medium heat, and then lower the heat, cover the pan, and cook the mixture for about 15 minutes. In the meantime, blend 1/3 cup of flour into 2 cups of milk. Stir this into the vegetable mixture, and cook and stir the soup over medium heat till the mixture thickens. And then stir in 1 cup of shredded cheddar cheese, 1/2 cup of shredded American cheese, and 1 cup of chopped ham. Heat the soup through and serve it with breadsticks. 6 servings of cheddar chowder. The Best Buys recipes of December, including that one, will be printed and available next month. For free copies of these and recipes for past months, will you send a stamp, self-addressed, business-size envelope to me, Joyce Lamont, at KLBB, 331 11th Street South, Minneapolis, 55404. Our show was brought to you today by Old Home Foods. That's Old Home, the freshest place in the dairy case.
Oh, that sounded good on a cold day like today. Cheese, cheddar, cheese, chowder, one of Joyce Lamont's Best Buys recipes. I'm Reed Hagen. We're remembering Joyce Lamont here on KLBB. We were talking about Hawaii, the fact she loved the islands, she loved to travel, she loved music. Here's another one of Joyce's favorite songs.
This is the moment I've waited for. I can hear my heart singing. Soon bells will be ringing. This is the moment of sweet aloha. I will love you longer than forever. Promise me that you will leave me never. Here and now, dear, all my love I bow, dear. Promise me that you will leave me never. I will love you longer than forever. Now that we are one, clouds won't hide the sun, blue skies of Hawaii smile on this our wedding day. I do love you with all my heart.
What a voice. Gentleman Jim Reeves. Joyce would say that every time he sang something. She'd say, oh, what a voice. Oh, I just love his voice. Yeah, very, very pure voice. And Joyce always enjoyed listening to Jim Reeves and the Hawaiian. I would say if she had to pick a song, the Hawaiian Wedding song probably would be her all-time favorite. She loved show tunes, went to a lot of Broadway shows in her day. But whether it was Andy Williams singing Hawaiian Wedding song or Jim Reeves, that was one of her all-time favorites. And I'm sure it was also because of her extensive amount of traveling, going to the islands, and probably thinking at one time the possibility of retiring there before a volcano interfered with with her plans over there. I'm Reed Hagen. We're remembering Joyce Lamont here on KLBB, and we'll be back with more in just a bit. I'm Reed Hagen. We're remembering Joyce Lamont here on KLBB. I was talking earlier in the program about Dayton's musical Chimes and how she got started doing that, and also commercial copy. Joyce writing her own commercials, rewriting others' commercials. That wasn't always the case. As you will hear, this is some audio. She's speaking to all of us. We were at the Pavick Museum for her induction into the Minnesota Broadcasters Hall of Fame. Now, Joyce is talking here about when she had to do a commercial for Dayton's, who was obviously the sponsor of Dayton's musical Chimes. So let's give a listen to that. Oh, well, that's okay. We would listen to it, but we're just having a little bit of technical difficulty there. So I think it's on the flash, but we'll find out. But that was the one exception was with Dayton's that Joyce said that they were not allowed to write the copy, change it. I mean, Dayton's was a huge company. They had their own ad agency, so the copy that was written was the copy that the announcer on the air had to read. So here it is now, Joyce talking about Dayton's musical Chimes.
The people who wrote the copy back then for Dayton's musical Chimes wrote for space. And, of course, they never knew that the copy for On the Air is entirely different. You have to be careful of the kind of words you put together and the kind of syllables, otherwise it sounds bad. So I was always conscious of the fact it was a rather difficult copy to read, and I went over it again and again. And one day, I read a couple lines. I almost fainted. I couldn't believe that I'd have to read this. Now, Dayton's law was you do not change one single word, not a word. You read it as it is. So I practiced it for half an hour, and I finally did it. Let me read the line to you. Shop in the second floor shirt shop for short sleeve ship and shore sport shirts with elasticized sides. I did it.
There you are. Just an example of commercial that she didn't get to rewrite, and that would be a tongue twister. But Joyce, as I said, and everybody else we've had on the show, was an absolute professional. We are running out of time, but I just want to say that it was just such a joy and a pleasure to work with Joyce. She had been a big part of my life growing up, my parents' life. My folks had the opportunity to meet Joyce and talk with her on several occasions. And the station owes a debt of gratitude to Dee Larson at DPL Cruises for hooking us up with Joyce. We thought Joyce was just going to retire, but it was her suggestion, which turned into a meeting with Joyce, which turned into just under 20 years. at KLBB. Quickly, before we leave, you know, you've heard the story ad nauseum about Howard Viken playing the stripper. Well, I used to play a song for Joyce called Honolulu Baby. And while she knew the melody, she didn't know the words. She loved the song until finally one day she actually listened to the words where he talks about shaking from side to side and shaking it all about and kind of giving the guys a thrill. And she looked at me like, I do that? We're going to close with that song here on KLBB, Honolulu Baby.
While down on the South Sea Islands, underneath the beauty of the stars, I strayed upon some maidens who were strumming on their guitars. A hula maid was dancing, and I knew I found my paradise. So this is what I told her as I gazed into her eyes. Honolulu, baby, where'd you get those eyes and the dark complexion?
Well, I hope you enjoyed the show. We love you, Joyce, and we will miss you. Stick around for news coming up next.